Myles Garrett was asked once again earlier today about the idea of being traded. Here's what Myles had to say.
You had mentioned that when you guys are losing like this and you're 1-6 and the trade deadline is coming up, nobody is really necessarily safe. I'm just wondering, have the Browns given you any reassurances at all that you are safe and that you're not going anywhere?
I'll be playing here.
So either that's a yes, or he has some sort of contractual control that guarantees he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, it seems pretty much locked in, which I don't know that is all that surprising. I mean, I guess a lot has changed in terms of the fan base's relationship with the players after Sunday. But, I mean, Myles sat there last Friday and basically said he had no intentions of leaving. He wants to win in Cleveland. He wants to be in Cleveland. So I think that story pretty much is I mean, I guess you can't put it completely to bed because things could always change. But it does sound like nobody on either side wants to see Myles Garrett play anywhere else, and I think that's probably the right move.
I think anyone talking about how the Browns should consider trading Myles Garrett is just talking themselves into it. There's no logical.
I think it just
comes
from a place of frustration.
Yeah,
fans are mad, and they're like, "Well, let's just." I said this the other night, Nick. I get so sick of when things aren't going right. Like the go-to answer, and I don't want to just say this as Browns fans, but it definitely happens a lot in this town, or not even Cleveland fans, but it definitely happens a lot in this town. It just feels like the easy thing that everybody goes to is, well, just blow it up. And I don't know if it's because we've gotten used to our teams going through so many rebuilds that it's like, well, it's not that big of a deal. We're so used to it at this point, like we're almost numb to it. So it's like, why not just do that thing? But like, dude, this league shows you all the time that you don't have to strip it down to nothing and build it back. Like the 1-31 was an anomaly. Like the teams that do, and look where it got you. Like it hasn't gotten you. It's gotten you a little bit closer to the Super Bowl, but it's not like you emerged on the other side of that, and now all of a sudden you're a consistent Super Bowl contender. So it's not even a guarantee that like that works. You have a generational player in your building right now. You don't just trade him because you're having a bad season. If you can find a way to turn this thing around quickly, maybe it starts with drafting a quarterback next year because that's all you can afford at the quarterback position with the Deshaun contract. And you draft the right guy, and you reshape the offensive line, and you still have some of these key pieces here. Who's to say that they can't be like a playoff contending team again next year? Like, I just hate that we get so stuck in this mindset of, well, let's just blow it up because things aren't going right. Like, it's not that easy. It's not that simple. And you don't have to do that every time things go awry.
Well, I think it's punitive. I think it is. I think it's like the idea of you want something to show you. It's that pound of flesh thing. And I agree, like, I don't think people realize there's already going to be a lot of change. Even if all you do is just replace a quarterback, that in and of itself is a massive amount of change, whether it's a veteran with a draft pick, whether it's just a draft pick, and you know, like,
and Deshaun,
however you kind of draw this up, that in and of itself is a lot of change. And that's before we get to the idea of, I mean, because listen, even if Kevin survives, this coaching staff's going through another big change. And that's just the reality of where things are. So, like, I think where we are right now, because, again, I think, like, people keep talking about two first-round picks like it's some wonderific little, oh, you got two first-round picks for Myles. I'll be honest with you. It's not enough. And frankly, there's probably no amount of draft collateral that will make me go, oh, like the Herschel Walker trade. Yeah, okay, I get it. But in the end, with every you get 10 picks for Myles, you're just going to be trying to find one more Myles.
Right.
And well, you don't traditionally get those guys with a 20th pick, the 24th pick, where teams trying to trade for Myles are going to be picking.
Well, and that's the other part of this is, like, if you're trying to replace Myles, people act like it's so easy to do that. Like, oh, well, there'll be another good pass rusher in the next class. Like, yeah. Guys, there's a difference between good pass rushers and, like, generational pass rushers. Like, I'm not saying you can't find a Max Crosby or an Aiden Hutchinson year to year where there's some good players, but, like, Myles is consensusly one of, if not the best defensive player in the league, and you're just willing to part ways with that because the season's gone to you know what? Like, I don't get it. And I think back to, I don't know if you remember this, but when John Gruden was coaching the Raiders, they traded Khalil Mack like that second year, year he was there. And he had a press conference after a game or something. I don't know. Maybe it was during the training camp where he flat out gave an answer to a question that was like, yeah, you know, good pass rushers are just really hard to find in this league. And it was like, but you had one here. And I guess it's worked out for the Raiders to an extent because they did end up finding Max Crosby several years later, and he's been great. He's one of the top pass rushers in this league. But at the same time, like, it's not just so like cut and dry. It's like, well, you move on from one pass rusher and you find the next one. So, no, like, I want Miles to be here as part of the solution to this team's problems right now next year. He's still young enough where he can still put up big numbers. He's coming off a year where he won Defensive Player of the Year. Like, I don't know why that has to be the conclusion that we all jump to so flippantly. It's just, we'll blow it all up and trade everybody. Like, it's not as – even though things seem dire, next year we could be talking about a completely different team in a completely different position 8 weeks into the season, and I want Miles here for that.
By the way, a little Browns news to pass along here. A little update from the Browns saying quarterback Deshaun Watson underwent successful surgery today to repair his ruptured right Achilles tendon. The surgery was performed by Dr. Bob Anderson, a foot and ankle specialist in Charlotte, and a full recovery is expected. So that's the latest on Deshaun. But here is where I think we've gotten in the season. I don't see the point in playing Miles for the next 10 games. And maybe you play him through the next two home games because – you know, then you'll get through about half the season, and then you have the bye, and then you kind of go from there. But given that Miles is dealing with feet injury, and that he even said, like, I got to deal with it, they're not going away, might have to have surgery, I just think it's as simple as this is a lost season, and the worst thing you could do is take Miles and risk a further injury because, much like we talked about earlier in the season, like he was saying, like the feet injury at the time were impacting his thigh. It was impacting his Achilles, right, or calf, quote unquote, which we all know is synonymous with Achilles.
Yeah,
I don't know we're there today. And again, we got two more home games. I think it's I can understand, but I'll say this: if it was very, 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 very clear that there was cut and dry, the season is over. They're not going to tell you they're not trying to win. They're going to keep trying because it's different for coaches. But I'm saying the organization understands what the season is. So you can't compound the holy crap for this season. You cannot compound the issues with this by letting Miles go out there for the next 10 Sundays in the name of we got to win a couple games that matter not.
Yeah, I think that for me that comes down to like what his doctors and the people that work on him are telling him. Like if there is concern that this injury, like was kind of flaring up earlier this season, is going to impact his Achilles, and then that's a worry that you have is that he could rupture his Achilles, then, yeah, I think you at some point are going to have to shut him down here. If they're not worried about that and it's just like, hey, you're going to have surgery, it's a four-month recovery, you'll be back in plenty of time for the season, then yeah, I can understand where he would then play out the rest of the year. But that is a situation they have to monitor. I wouldn't necessarily say they're there yet. Maybe you wait till you're mathematically officially eliminated from the playoffs, which honestly, that could happen in the next like three games anyway, depending on how things
but
go.
If he's in pain, why is he playing? Even if it's not Achilles, even if it can just lead
to a
bigger foot
injury. Well, but you can be in pain and be playing and it not necessarily make things like there's been players who played through injuries that aren't going to cause further damage.
Well, yeah, but why? Like, what is the point in having him out there? If he's not comfortable, it's impacting his performance, which I think we all can agree to some degree it is. Miles does have some sort of gravity. Him just being out there is.
Yeah.
Like, and here's the reason why it matters. Because the Browns, this is a huge test for Kevin. Kevin has let the player make the decision as many times as we've seen it. It happened with Deshaun's shoulder. It happened with Baker's shoulder.
Yeah, I was gonna say Baker.
And the reality is each one of those situations blew up in your face one way or another. And it never has worked out. And if Kevin wants to prove to me, because the next 10 games, it's not about can he go 5-5 for me. It's not about, well, can we make the offense look like some semblance of a professional offense. Like, that's the bare minimum. His thing is don't lose this locker room and don't do anything in pursuit of winning that hurts your long-term ability to win. Namely, keep putting Miles out there. I'll be honest with you. I think we've already gotten proof of concept that Miles playing on these leads to other injuries. It doesn't have to be a season ender. Like if he's saying, yeah, the foot led to the thigh and the calf, he's telling you this has already happened. You can't just leave it up to Mike.
I will say he hasn't brought up the foot injury or the feet injuries in several weeks. So I don't know if that just means like they're not bothering quite as much. I haven't noticed him. I know he still isn't playing like 100% of the snaps, but I haven't noticed quite as much that he, you know, isn't on the field for certain plays. Maybe they've toned down a little bit. I don't know.
Or he was asked to stop talking about them.
Yeah, that could be it too. But no, if Kevin Stefanski is going to rely solely on asking Myles Garrett, do you want to play? I think we all know Myles is going to say he's going to want to play through these injuries. At some level, like the organization is going to have to take that power into their own hands and be the ones who say, yeah, we're going to sit you down and just tell you to go get this surgery.
How's it not now?
I mean, you didn't even say it was now, technically. You said it doesn't have to be. You said you understand, like,
but,
the next
but
2 weeks.
But I'm throwing this out here as the foreshadowing of if before Myles gets shut down, because there's no way. Guys, there's no way he's playing 17 games this year. He shouldn't. There's a lost season. Even if they try and get to 500, there's a lost season. 500, you're not going to get any closer to where you need to be. But but I understand the emphasis on trying to win every game and what that does in the locker room. But, like,
well, I think that's the key thing.
But if Myles goes out there this week and gets hurt, seriously hurt, how can you not hold this organization accountable? Well, how can you not hold Kevin accountable?
I mean, that's fair. I do think, though, like, until you're at a point where you can knowingly say to your – like until you're at a point where you know the locker room understands where they're at and you don't – let me put it this way. Until this team is at a place where they feel good about the message they've sent – is sufficient enough to make it seem like they're still trying to win. Because that's the thing. Kevin Stefanski cannot lose this locker room or he's toast. Like, he's going to lose his job. He has to still be willing to put him out there and compete and show that they're trying to win long enough so that he doesn't lose that entire group of guys. And once we get to a point where you know the season's like a – like.
So Kevin should keep going and playing Myles because it's best for Kevin? Because I'll be honest, that makes it more.
But I think it's best for the organization and the team, though. Like, maybe not. Okay, I see what you're saying. Like, maybe not for the organization long term if he gets hurt. But I'm just saying, like, he has to manage the idea that he needs this locker room to still believe in him. He needs this group to kind of stick together, and you need Myles' presence out there to do that.
As a fan, I want to see Myles out there on the field. As a pragmatist, this is a huge risk that they take every single day.